we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Freedom from your past. And this is kind of a segue from what we were talking about last week, talking about Paul's final message. Last week, we also dealt a little bit with eternal security and once saved, always saved. Talked about that somewhat. And men continue to argue over eternal security when the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When it says that, that tells me that you can't ever get too comfortable in what you believe. Okay, we have to make sure we maintain our faith, continue to fight the good fight of faith. Do I believe that every time somebody sins, they lose their salvation? No way. I don't believe that. I believe it's just a mindset that a person has that will either be with God or against God. I just believe it. I believe we can make that decision in our heart. I don't care if you accepted Christ when you were 10, 11. If you turn 20 and you decide to be a Hebrew Israelite and deny the very birth of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, I do not believe you can hold on to salvation, especially when you've come to the realization at age 20 that it is not the truth. At age 5, at age 11, you could have been going up there based on the knowledge you have. But now since you're full of knowledge, as 5% is in Hebrew Israelites and those kind of people are, now you're making a true sound decision. So I just don't believe sitting in the chair at 5 or 11 years old is going to preserve you, pass you, accepting an erroneous doctrine and believing that you're still a part of the household of faith. If it's the household of faith, then what keeps us here? Faith. Right? If we're saved by grace through what?
Faith.
Faith without works is what?
Dead.
So how are you saved by faith if you have no faith or you've changed faith? If your faith is not the faith in the word of God and what the Bible says, how are you saved? I will never understand that. But some folks will argue, you know, and most of them that are doing the arguing is because their kids ain't saved. And they want to believe that when their children were 12 and 13, that they came to Christ and they're going to go to heaven some kind of way. Well, it's not based on your parents' salvation or anything like that. It's based on your faith and what you know. Amen? So we have things in our past that come up. All of us in here, everyone, has things that they have to make sure they, you know, grab a hold to and make sure they check it so that it does not throw us totally off course. But I do believe that we can be knocked off course. I do believe that we can fall into an area of disobedience or boneheadedness or stupidity or, you know, all kinds of things, because we're all wrestling with how we grew up and what was done to us when we were young. Okay? So all of that is a part of who we are now. Amen? Some of us had some hard times when we were young, and those things tried to come back. That's why we have to make sure that we do what Paul said, lay hold to our eternal security, or lay hold to salvation, and make sure that it preserves us even past the issues that may try to come up. But anyway, let's talk about this. All of that has to do with freedom from your past, because the enemy is going to constantly bring things from your past, bring them up to make you feel unworthy of the inheritance that God has for you, make you feel unsaved when they come. And then a lot of times, some of the ways that we grew up, some of us, you know, I understand eternal security or once saved, always saved is kind of erroneous. I understand that. But a lot of people grew up on the other side or the flip side, where every sin you committed, God was trying to put you in hell. He just did not want you in heaven. He wants you in hell. So every little thing you did meant hell. And they would make you get on the altar and cry until your tears turned to blood, till your lips crusted over and chapped, and you had to say Jesus a million times and they count it. Yes, yes, yes. That's not enough. You don't have it yet. You don't have it yet. That's what I'm saying. There are two extremes. There are two extremes. You have one person on the side of you telling you to hold on, the other person telling you to let go. You just want a rope to hang yourself and die because you've been there for hours. Yeah, you got two flavors of breath trying to pass through mints, two different mints. Sometimes breath go around mints if they've been in your mouth too long. You need to go on and chew that and dissolve that. That's ineffective at this point. You know, took the color off of it. It's not gonna work. You know what I'm saying? And they're just all around. Ah, say it, yeah, say it, say it, say it, yeah, say it, say it. And you're just like, oh. So you just cut this, reep it up, there it is. And, I mean, you just do whatever you have to do. You just do whatever you have to do. I have done that in my life. I'm going to admit and tell the truth. I have spoken in a false tongue. It might have been the tongue of Satan. I didn't care. I just wanted to say something that would have made these folk quit. I wanted to just grab the mic and say, it's not working. There must be a deeper problem here. I don't know whether it's me or you, but there is a problem. And so, you know, we used to go through that. And that, so that's the extreme, you know, that's the other side. So every time you did anything, you know, and our parents, thank God my mother and father wasn't too into this, but some mothers and fathers were into this. They were into getting up and testifying about their children while their children were sitting there. You know, my son yesterday had sex for the first time, lost his virginity on a school bus. So we need to pray for him. Stand up, Junior. You know, then Junior grow up. When he's up, he grew up and become Aleister Crowley. Because he, yeah, he's now he's Harry Potter. I mean, he's casting spells on anything that resembles Christianity. Yeah, that's what happened to Marilyn Manson. What's the other guy that hung out with Aleister Crowley? Kenneth Anger. Same thing happened to him. And then Madame Blavatsky. All of these people who are the premier Satanist of our time were all grew up in Christian homes where the word of God was used as a weapon to punish them. That's why we don't do that. We don't do that. Now, do I believe in just letting your child make a choice whether they want to be saved in your house or not? No. I don't believe in that. If I'm paying food and stuff, you better act like you say. You better fake it. Or you're not eating my food. You know, I don't believe in that. You're just going to have, you know, playing your music the way you want and dressing the way you, and I'm buying it. But no, that's not going to happen. So I don't believe in that. But also, we got to be careful the things we say. Me and my wife were just talking about this. How you have to be so careful what you say to your children while they are growing up. When they're growing up, you got to be very careful what you say because you can't take those things back. And there are adults. We were talking about some adults with severe issues because of just little things that their parents said to them. Can't ever live them down. Can't ever fight it. Just little things. And sometimes it's big things, but little things also. So we have to be real careful. But let's talk about this. Freedom from your past. I know I have digressed a lot, but this won't take long. Freedom from your past. There are many things that we did in our past that we are ashamed of. Many of these things come back time and again to haunt us and pull us back into the bondage of it. Luke 11 and 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, findeth none. He said, I will return unto my house whence I came. So when we get delivered from certain things, when we give it all to God, we say we're not going back. We make a decision to change. The devil is going to come and bring that same stuff right back, packaged the way you left it, but he's going to make it look a little better, and he's going to try to pull you back. That's his first line of attack, is your past, okay? What he knew you were once comfortable with, he's going to try to bring that stuff right back. Now, when we're saved, delivered, and set free from it, I mean, most of the time, we don't even have a taste for it. We've been delivered from crack. We don't want no crack, but crack is going to come back. You just better make sure you really don't want it because it's going to come back. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So we have to make sure that we, and then we have to be smart and watch where we go. Amen. Don't go to the crack house trying to witness and you just got off the pipe 3 months ago. Amen. That's not your ministry. You let somebody else go there. Amen. There is no way to stop the shame of sin, but there are ways to put past sins in their place. Past sins belong in the past. Now, the shame of sin should always be there. I mean, we should always feel bad when we get in the face of God about things we did. And, you know, when we say sin, it's not always shooting somebody and stealing a car. I mean, it could just be your attitude, you doing something, or the way you're talking to people. You could, you know, just different things. So we have to make sure when we come before God that we have a certain shamefulness for our sins. That is good and healthy. Amen? It's good and healthy to know, because that at least shows that you know and you are sorry for it and you're working on it. Some things you can work on, some things you have to stop right away. Past sins belong in the past and should not pull you away from your future in Christ. I love this passage in Galatians. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So if he's made you free, it's basically saying, why in the world would you go back? Why did you get free in the first place? We have to understand, y'all, there is when the Bible talks about sin and how sin is against God, you have to understand it's really against the plan of God for you. That's what sin is. Okay, it's against the plan. Why? Because sin changes and it alters your path. It alters your direction. It alters your future. Some folks are 50, 60 years old paying for sins when they were 18 and 19. Okay? Folks die. Folks lose their lives. Folks get pregnant out of wedlock. Folks get diseases. Folks get, you know, lose loved ones, get killed. I mean, all because somebody was a drunk and they got in the car, and you changed a whole generation of people because of your sin. Y'all understand? So that's why this is an important issue to God, because you are messing with the future. The only way to be free from your past is to be washed by the blood of Jesus and cleansed from it all. But many times thoughts and feelings of regret and remorse cause us to think and act on our past. It'll start out as remorse and regret sometimes when we wish we hadn't done a certain thing. But then if you continue to dwell on sin, y'all, sin has a switch. It'll flip the switch and start bringing good time memories back in your mind, because you're trying to outlive all the bad stuff you did. So you start trying to remember, well, I was doing good. And yeah, and I remember I was ministering to this girl named Felicia. And oh, she was a hot young tender. And your mind just start just, you know, by the time you finish, you got Felicia just, you know, you ready to Facebook her and find her. I need to find her and see if God is still using her like he used her back then. You got to leave your past the past, amen? Leave your past the past. Now, Facebook can be a devil with that. You know, there's a church where a pastor, I mean, he fell in love with somebody on Facebook that he knew back in high school. I think it was like three of them, three old ex-girlfriends. Hit this pastor up, and he just couldn't resist him. And so after he finally, you know, repented, he repented to his congregation. He came out and said, these women, y'all, that Facebook is a devil. He banned Facebook in his church. And anybody in leadership, if they have a Facebook ID, they are removed from their position. Because he found out half of his leaders were talking to other people on Facebook, old relationships. So he just banned Facebook, and that's a good idea. That's what he has to do. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do. If you don't like it, leave the church. Go somewhere else where, you know, they're ministering on Facebook or something. But at his church is different. So he had to do what he had to do to stay delivered. Amen? And I know some folks will say, oh, see, that's it. No, there ain't no need of testing yourself. Right? You done hit up three old flames. It's time to end Facebook. Right? You might not even need a computer. I think you need to go look at microfilm in the library. Even worse than that, the memories of enjoyment and longing for those feelings can trigger us to go back into our past and resurrect old sins that we have been set free from. That's reminiscing. You know, it's a song come on, or a place you go to, or, you know, you just not happy where you are. You just don't like yourself. You're not happy. Like if you're single, you're just not happy in your singleness, or you're not whole. And you remember the time when, you know, Brother Billy used to bring the church van by and pick you up, and his gold teeth used to just twinkle in your eye. And you just, you know, the smell of his Aramis cologne just would get on everything, and he'd help you up. Put the little step out for you. You know, oh, where's Brother Billy? Let me get on Facebook. we must understand. What's wrong with Aramis? It's the 80s cologne. We must understand that there are always certain doors that our past enters in through. Matthew 12 and 45 tells us, when Jesus was talking, he said, then goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits after you've swept the place clean and claim your deliverance. Seven spirits come back more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So if you messing around with this deliverance thing, you can end up with a whole bunch of spirits. Amen. You can. You can end up in a worse state than you were in before. Whether in thought or deed, we must be aware of these doorways so that we can close them. Usually our past habits are very tempting. That's why it was a habit. Right?
Yeah.
God gave us a prayer that causes us to avoid being tempted over our ability to resist. Jesus said in his prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. One of the most powerful prayers in the whole Bible. This prayer, when the devil comes in your mind, when you're thinking about doing something, you know you ought not. If you say, lead me not into temptation, Lord, deliver me from evil, he will make a way for you to escape immediately. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. But the problem is sometimes we're so caught up in what we want to do, we don't want to pray that prayer. We don't want God stopping it. God never tempts us, but he allows the enemy to tempt us, but never over our means to resist, right? Most people that give in to the temptation of their past allow their own flesh to pull them into it. God will never put more on us than we can bear, but we tend to do it on our own by putting ourselves in positions that we know we don't need to be in. Some people can do that. Right? Some people can go there. You can't. Amen? Just like this pastor, and I believe he wasn't saying that all people ought to come off Facebook. He was saying, I don't need to be on Facebook. And I don't want my workers on Facebook. You know, 50%, that's a pretty good number. That's good enough cause to pull it down, right? So he had to lay the precedent. I know a guy, you know, when he gets on his computer to use his computer when he's researching and stuff, he puts a praise and worship CD in. You know, because he wants to make sure he's going to the right websites. That's a struggle for him, or it has been in his past. So he just want to make sure he's not leaving himself too open. Some people use accountability systems on the web where, you know, if they go to a bad site or something, it'll email somebody else and let them know, and they can get a phone call. Some people need that accountability because you don't know what people have been through. Amen? Some people have been through some stuff. You know, I think back to Prince a lot of time, and a lot of people don't know about Prince. You know, I make fun of his appearance sometime because, I mean, it's worthy of that. But Prince has issues, right? Prince has probably more issues than, I don't know a musician other than Michael Jackson that has more issues than Prince. I mean, Prince is messed up. But Prince said when he was with on Oprah's show and they were interviewing him, he said when he was young, his mom, in her attempt to teach him the birds and the bees, went and bought a bunch of porn. And just put porn magazines and tapes and stuff all around his room. And that was her way of introducing him to sex. And that's why he's legion now, because of all of that went on. You know, not making an excuse. I mean, he can get delivered. Amen? He can get delivered, can he? Well, jury's still out on that one. But no, he can get delivered if he wants to be, but he knows his deliverance will hurt his ability to sell himself. When the enemy brings temptations of our past to us, then immediately we must submit to God. Y'all hear that immediately? When the stuff goes down. I mean, I did a lesson one time. No, I did a daily word that says, get out before it jumps off. Immediately. Look at somebody say, immediately. Immediately. You can't play around with it. When you smell it. Immediately submit to God. You can't just resist the devil without submitting to God. James said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So as soon as the enemy starts bringing temptations of our past to us, we need to submit to God. We submit to him by yielding our minds to him instead of focusing on our past. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. And then right after that, it says, draw nigh to God. and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, sinner, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What is double-minded? That means you're thinking about doing it and thinking about not doing it. One of those is going to win. And if they're both in there, I can pretty much tell you which one is going to win. So you can't have them both in there. Because one of them has an unfair advantage, and that is your flesh. But you got to submit to God. Resist the devil. Flee. If you continue to think about the past, then you will eventually surrender to your past and be once again in the bondage of it. The devil may use certain songs, movies, people, places, events that once connected you to a past sin to remind you of the pleasure of it. If you dwell on or think on it too long, then you will find yourself entangled again and reaping all of the sorrow of that sin. You know, some sins, you already can predict the sorrow of it. Wouldn't it be good to feel how you felt after you did it before? Wouldn't that be a wonderful world we were all living in? Yeah, wouldn't nobody do nothing? The only true freedom from any sin is a commitment to the Lord. With this, you can replace all areas and reminders with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you experience the deliverance of Jesus Christ, then you must walk accordingly. Acts 26 and 20 tells us, but show first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God. That's very important. Repent means to turn. You did not repent if you did not turn to God. And then it says, after you turn to God, guess what? Do the works meet for repentance. So there's no way you can just say, I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't work. That's not a kingdom principle. No. I forgive me doesn't work either. Just God forgive me, God forgive me. No. It has to be true repentance. That's why he says you have to repent and then turn to God. You're turning and then do what you're supposed to do to represent the turn that you just made. That's repentance. You cannot continue to fellowship with the people and events that make you vulnerable to your past habits, y'all. You may have to get new friends, a new church home. You may have to get a new church home. You may have to get new friends, a new church home, etc. Whatever you have to give up for Christ's sake and the sake of your soul is worth it. This is what Christ meant by take up your cross. And we talked about this last week, taking up your cross and following him. He was speaking of the pain of giving up your life for his life. Matthew 16 and 24 says, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow him. That is the charge for every one of us. That is what God requires of us. Anyone that is questioning what their purpose is, we talked about that last week, what their purpose is, what does God want me to do? He wants you to deny yourself, take up your cross, follow him. But it's painful. But it is impossible to be full of God's spirit and full of yourself at the same time. One has to go. Okay? When you're full of yourself, you are a moving target for the enemy. You're easy. It's easy when you're full of yourself because that means your flesh is puffed up and your flesh is running everything. But when you deny yourself and submit to God and lessen your flesh is weaker and you're not such an easy target for the enemy, right? We all have had some kind of sin that kept us out of God's presence. This is what a habit is designed by the enemy to do. Every time you give Jesus a commitment to do better, your past habits and sins come back to visit and pull you right back out again. This pattern must be broken or you will find yourself trying to keep Christ and sin in the same body. Our past sins and habits must revisit us through a doorway. I talked about this in part 6 extensively. We must recognize these doorways and close them forever and seal them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything or anyone that pulls us back into our past must be removed from our lives and replaced by someone or something that honors our commitment with Jesus Christ. This may seem extreme, but how extreme was the sin you were committing? Guy, I know, he pastors a church, and, you know, the women in there look a certain way. They don't wear makeup, and they don't wear pants and different things, and he doesn't really preach, you know, that it's a sin that'll take you to hell, but they just look that way. And I asked him one time, I said, you know, why do your women look like? He said, well, all of these women were ex-prostitutes. They were on the street, so they made their money off of looking a certain way. And they don't want to look that way anymore. But sometimes you never know where people are coming from. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what kind of discipline. I got another friend that, you know, he has some men, all his armor bearers that work for him or whatever. And, you know, and they, the men, they help out people in the church, the brothers or whatever. And they stand at attention. And when he's, you know, driving by, they all stand at attention and they salute and all. It's like they're in the army. And I thought it was ridiculous. I said, man, what in the world are these folks doing this for? But then I didn't understand. They were all from the prison. So he had a certain discipline he was just walking them through. It wasn't so they can be saved. But he was using kind of like a military discipline to get these guys a form of, you know, a discipline. Because once you get that in the natural, you can actually discipline other areas in your life. That's what the army is supposed to be for, you know. You know you don't get rehabilitated in jail, right? Y'all know that. Jail makes it worse. You know, but what I'm saying is you never know what people are going through. So you don't know what barriers and different things they have to set up. So you don't come. I remember I was doing the Truth Behind Hip Hop at this church, and this bishop that brought me, we took up 5,000 CDs at this event, books and everything. And they were spread all over, you know, the stage. And I mean, it was just amazing, the power of God, how it hit and everything. And then he went up there and he found the Beatles record. Somebody had gave the Beatles record back. He was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. I sing one of these songs in church. And, you know, I was like, you don't know. Well, first of all, there's a lot wrong with the Beatles. But even if it wasn't, you know, I remember one guy gave up Fighting Temptations. This guy gave up Fighting Temptations, you know, and they all questioned him. They were like, why would you give that up? That movie's rated PG. That's a good movie, man. You ought to not give it. And they were just all over him. So he walked away from all of them. And I asked him, I said, man, don't listen to them. I said, why'd you get up? He said, well, there's a scene in there where she's singing that I masturbate to. And I'm like, look at these demonic preachers telling this boy ain't nothing wrong with that video. There's a scene she's singing seductive, and he has a. You never know what people have to get rid of to do what they need to do. You know what I'm saying? So we don't, you know, you don't look at people funny because they dressed a certain way or because they don't go certain places or they can't watch what you watch. Something's, you know, it may not be anything wrong with what you're watching, but that may be too much for them to handle. They didn't grow up that way. You know what I'm saying? That's how I get when I get around preachers and stuff and they start cussing and using foul language. I got to leave because I don't curse. I didn't grow up like that. That bothers me. You know what I'm saying? So you never know where people's line is. You know, back when I used to curse, I cursed like poop deck pappy. And so when God delivered me, he took it all away. I don't have a desire. I don't care how mad I get. Curse word don't accidentally slip out. I'm delivered, but I don't need to sit up and listen to it. I don't need to watch Friday after that, the next Friday, Saturday, then Friday. I don't need to watch that stuff. Because that's too much cussing. Kings of comedy. I'm not going to sit up and absorb all that cursing. Now, you may can watch it and it don't affect you. Or you may watch it because I talk like that anyway. God, no. He know I'm just an old jive. Don't you hate when people talk like that? He know I'm just a big old dummy. If it wasn't for his grace. Yes, we all know that you a big old dummy. But you never know what people have to give up and do to maintain their faith. If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, that's what I call strategic fighting. I get upset when people call me a legalist and they say, how are you teaching legalism? And that's legalistic. Man, you don't understand the battle. This is a battle. Some stuff you can't afford to do.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.